searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope.
Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
Love that comforts from heaven above. And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows me to be here every Wednesday to hopefully bring you great shows like today's. Before we go to our guests, just a reminder that coming up on Monday, October the 14th, will be our annual golf outing. It'll take place again this year at Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. We'll get together for golf, with lunch before, dinner after, silent auction, and all kinds of opportunities to raise some much-needed funds for this great radio apostolate. If you go to our website at inhissign.com, there's a link there to download the flyer with all the information about how to register for golf and or dinner, as well as sponsorship opportunities. We can use as many sponsors as we can get. So if you have a business or you know someone that does that might be interested in sponsoring a whole or another part of the outing, by all means, feel free to pass along that information. And just real quick, we still have beds available for the retreat this coming weekend at the Malvern Retreat House. It's the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Retreat. The retreat director will be Father Bryce Lundgren, who's flying in from Cheyenne, Wyoming, as a result of doing an interview with me about 16 months ago on his book, The Catholic Cowboy Way. So I'm picking him up tomorrow, and he'll be at Malvern this weekend. You can still register online at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. 0400. And without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest. And today it is Steve Dawson. And after a powerful conversion to the Catholic faith in 2006, Steve has been active in various Catholic ministries and in leadership positions in the pro-life movement. Also spent time discerning religious life, spending 14 months with the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate before discerning his call to work for the church as a layman. As founder and president of St. Paul Street Evangelization, he has been featured on various television and radio programs and is also the author of several books and articles on evangelization. He resides in Michigan with his wife Maria and his five children. Welcome to the show, Steve. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And we got in touch. And I guess I got in touch with the publicist at Ignatius Press about the, I believe it's a reprint of Catholic Evangelization, again, published by Ignatius Press, available at their website, ignatius.com, locally here in the Philadelphia area. I'd encourage you to pick it up from the St. Jude shop in Havertown. May want to call them first to make sure they have it in stock. And if they don't, they can certainly get it for you in short order. So, you know, the following I have, Steve, is a lot of folks that are in recovery. It's all sorts of Catholics, but primarily folks that are in recovery from alcoholism and drug addiction and various other addictions. And so when I found out about your book and then started to look into it and then learned a little bit about your story, it was like a complete, is that odd or is that God? You know, or paths are kind of similar, and where we've kind of ended up in the evangelization world, you on the street and me either on the radio or through an organization called the Calyx Society. And, you know, it's just great work that you're doing, pal.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah. It's God's work. We need to do it.
Yeah. And, so in your story, And it's the first story in the book, Catholic Evangelization. You tell the readers a little bit about how you eventually came to found the St. Paul Street Evangelization. Would you mind sharing a little bit about your story?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, if you would have asked me when I was 15 or 20 if I would ever, you know, lead a Catholic evangelization organization, I would have laughed because, you know, growing up when I was a kid, we didn't have any faith in the house at all. My mom was a fallen away Catholic, and my father had no religion at all. He wasn't baptized. They weren't atheists. He was just nothing. And while I was baptized and received Holy Communion and confirmation even, it was just something that my mom, like from her roots, she realized that she should do was get me baptized and all those things. But I don't remember ever talking about God or thinking about God. So God just didn't exist in my life. And by the time I was 13, I started getting into trouble. I remember I was 13 years old the first time I was arrested. I thought it was, you know, I thought I needed a little bit of excitement in my life, so I decided to sneak out my dad's brand-new Thunderbird Super Coupe in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. I opened up the garage by hand, very slowly, and pushed the car down the driveway and took it out, and it turned into a parking lot, and right there was a police officer, and he saw me in the car. He obviously knew I was 13 or something, and he started following me, and I turned down streets, and I thought I had lost him, so I punched it. You know, next thing I know, sirens are going off, and I'm in a 130-mile-an-hour high-speed police pursuit that ended in a crash that should have killed me, but only by the grace of God and my guardian angel did I survive. And you would think that, you know, that would set me straight, you know, but it didn't. I mean, it just got worse. In high school, I started partying, doing all the bad things that, you know, if I would not let my kids hang out with me when they're high school age.
Me neither. Like
I wouldn't let my kids hang out with me for sure. You know, I was a bad influence. And, you know, I was doing stupid things like blowing up toilets. And this is all in the book, by the way. Mailboxes and just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And during all this, I drove my mom to her knees because she thought to herself, what can I do with this boy? And she eventually reverted to the Catholic faith and, you know, tried to convert me. And I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so, you know, this lifestyle of partying led into my 20s. And but my mom kept working on me. She had all her friends praying for me. She tried to talk to me whenever she could. And, you know, from all external appearances, it looked like she was pushing me away. But actually, you know, those seeds were planted. And one night I just, you know, I had had enough. I went outside with my bottle of Jack Daniels, and I set it on the grass. I got on my knees. I looked at the sky, at the stars, and I said, all right, God, I don't know if you exist or not, but if you do, you're going to have to show me. Because, you know, it's kind of, it's not really all that great down here. And, you know, at that moment, something changed. I didn't get an apparition or anything like that, but God gave me a grace on that evening, and it was a grace to search for truth, you know, to search for truth. And I through research, I came to believe that God did exist, but I did not want to be, like, Christian. I did not want to be Catholic. You know, I'd much rather have been Buddhist at this time. I thought, you know, I know movie stars who are Buddhist, like, Buddhist is kind of cool, you know. Catholicism is not cool, you know. But eventually I did come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and that he founded a church, and it was the Catholic Church. So that is the very shortened version of my conversion story.
Yeah.
And then it goes from there, you know.
Yeah. And reading the story about blowing up the toilet, like I thought I was smart, but, you know, somebody that uses a cigarette to delay the burn so they can be back in the classroom when the toilet actually blows, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
And they still blamed you, right?
Well, I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
yeah, yeah.
So I put a cigarette on the wick. I put the M80 down by the toilet, like at the base of it. I went back to class. 5 minutes later, boom, you know? And I didn't tell anybody, but the rumor spread. It was Dawson. Dawson did it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was him. And so, you know,
yep.
I just had that reputation.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. And it's, and you know, the way God takes us from where we were and allows, you know, these things that we've done and that are part of the past, because, you know, I was sharing with some folks last night as part of our, you know, Calyx meeting that I think I totaled 7 cars, and some of them it was all at once, and other words it was like a slow death. But, and, you know, and like you, you know, I sort of got the wake-up call at 18, and it took me 12 more years. I was 30 when I finally realized that maybe I had a problem. And I'm sure that, like me, God has used the things that you've done in your past in order to help other people and relate to other people. And you can talk their language, and so they'll relate to you where they may not relate to a parent or a teacher or somebody else that really doesn't have a clue about what it's like to have the heads that we had.
Right, yeah. God can use each one of us in different ways,
right.
You know, and everybody has a story, and some people, they might think, well, my story is bland. It's nothing exciting. But, well, there are people out there with, you know, that you can speak into their lives, you
That's
know.
That's right.
But, yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, I think God chose me for this because, look, if like, you realize that St. Paul Street Evangelization was not founded by me. It was definitely God. Like, I couldn't do this thing, you know, this yeah. crazy guy. So.
Yeah, and that got and that really got started after you had met your girlfriend. I forget if you were married or not when you made the move from where you were out west and spent a little bit of time in that weird place they call Portland.
Yeah. Well, basically, I thought it was called to be a priest, so I joined the Franciscans of the Immaculate. And I discerned out, and I ended up getting married within a year. And in that time, I knew I was called to evangelization. And one of the charisms of the Franciscans of the Immaculate is devotion to St. Maximilian Kolbe, who is one of their patrons, who it happens to be his feast day today. And my firstborn son is named Maximilian. And I knew I was called to evangelize. And St. Maximilian had the method that I could do, which was to pass out miraculous medals. He thought, if somebody could just receive a miraculous medal, that God could use that as a channel of grace to bring about conversion in their life. So, you know, during this time, I was courting my soon-to-be wife. I was evangelizing with the miraculous medal, and I just had amazing encounters. Like, for example, I was in a restaurant, and I gave the waitress a miraculous medal, and she said, "Oh, is this Catholic?" I said, yeah, it's Catholic. Are you Catholic? And she said, no, but my boyfriend is. And I asked her, well, have you ever considered becoming Catholic? She said she had, but she didn't believe in all of the teachings of the church, like on abortion. And so I gave her a very simple explanation, and I left, and I thought I'd never see her again. But I went back to that restaurant, And she recognized me, and she saw me, and she said, "Sit down, I have to tell you something. That day you gave me a miraculous medal, I had just found out I was pregnant, I was going to have an abortion. But I knew that God had sent you to be a sign for me to keep my baby."
Mm.
So it was experiences like that.
Yeah.
That and so I got married, and that led me out to Portland. And yeah, Portland is crazy.
The street evangelization, I had seen some of the things on social media. I followed you guys, and it's something that I didn't think I could do. I have my this work that we do with an organization called the Calyx Society for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, and it's like mostly re-evangelizing people that are, were brought up Catholic and kind of got away from the church and fell into addiction. And you have put together quite an organization, and like you said, it you know, God put it together. He just used you as the instrument to do it, but you know, it still required your cooperation. And so you went from doing it by yourself to a pretty sizable organization these days, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a couple hundred teams and thousands of evangelists throughout the country and world, mostly in the United States. But it just started there in Portland. You know, my wife and I, we were walking down the street one day on the Riverwalk, and we ran into the Mormons who were evangelizing. And then like a block later, the Jehovah's Witnesses were out there. And then, you know, the Protestants were out there, and there was even atheist evangelists out there in Portland. And I said to my wife, "Where are all the Catholics?" Because when I read the scriptures and, you know, researched the history of the church, Catholics were doing public evangelization. I mean, it's, in my mind, it's the most highlighted form of evangelization in the scriptures and in the tradition and history of the church. You know, you have Jonah in Nineveh, or you have John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, or Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount, or with the woman at the well, or when he sent the 72 into the towns and squares and villages. Or moving into Acts of the Apostles, you have, you know, Peter and John in the temple area, or Paul in the Areopagus, and the list goes on and into the great missionary saints. You know, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Francis Xavier, all the great missionary saints were public street evangelists, you know. They didn't just go on a mission somewhere and build a church and start running programs and say Mass and hoping people would come to them. Like St. Francis Xavier, he would go into the town squares of villages, and he would get a big bell, and he'd start ringing it to gather a crowd. And then he'd pray, proclaim Jesus Christ and salvation that is found in him. And so for whatever reason, you know, Catholics have lost this heritage of ours, or it seemed to me at that point. And I realized that, you know, all these other organizations are doing Catholic evangelization. They just don't know. I mean, they're street evangelization is Catholic, you know, it's the original evangelization. And so I thought, we just gotta, you know, get out here and talk to people and try it. And honestly, I thought people would throw tomatoes at us or, you know, yell at us or be all about apologetics or something like that. But we just had amazing encounters right off the bat and conversions and just, yeah, it was incredible. And so that was 2012, and today, you know, we've grown into, you know, a decent-sized apostolate, really influencing the church, bringing back into the church the awareness that Catholics should be doing evangelization in multiple ways.
Yeah, and it's so critical, I think, in this day and age. When I was reading the book and listening to some of the other things that you've done, and you know, it, it seemed to me, and I remember listening to a, at the time it was Rosalind Moss who went, would go on to form a religious order of sisters, and I invited her to our parish to talk, and somebody had asked her a question about greeters at the door, and you know, she said that she didn't want anybody getting between her and the tabernacle when she got to church, and that that back in the day, 40s, 50s, 60s, so much more, especially this country, was Catholic. And so there probably wasn't really a need for a whole lot of evangelization, and that a lot of it went on just with, you know, our mothers talking over the fence and block parties and those types of things before, you know, husbands and wives were both going out to work and life got, you know, real busy to the point where, you know, today the churches are probably less than half of what they were when I was born in 61. And so there, like Rosalind Moss said then, there wasn't real a real need for evangelization. And now there is. And, you know, God always raises up the right people at just the right time. And the way that he's used you over the last 10 plus years to make us aware of the need for evangelization. But I think more importantly, like you said, it's not, you don't have to go and get a doctorate degree or even a theology degree to do this. It's when one person shares their story with another person and I think tells them what God has done in our own lives that we can inspire others to at least seek out God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in every age we need evangelization. I mean, and we're all called because if we really have this great gift of the Catholic faith and the knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ, and we know the Eucharist, we know about the sacraments, confession, and, you know, Jesus is the key to salvation, and we know that people need it, and we're unwilling to share it, or we just choose not to share it with other people. It's a serious omission. So, you know, even a cloistered nun needs to evangelize. Now, she evangelizes differently than we do. She evangelizes her fellow sisters, you know, by being holy and through fraternal correction when needed and encouragement in all different sorts of ways. And, you know, my wife, who was a street evangelist with me, is a mother of five right now, and she can't do street evangelization, but she's evangelizing, you know, our children. And so we all have a call in every age, I mean, to evangelize in different ways. Now, particularly now when, you know, just look at the state of our culture, I mean, and the state of the world. I mean, the solution to our country's problems is not Donald Trump, and it's not, you know, Kamala Harris or any other political candidate. The solution to our country's and our culture's and our world's problems is Jesus Christ and the church that he founded. And that's the only thing that's going to save us, because without that, I mean, and I think we need a miracle. We are falling off a cliff. Things are going to spiral out of control. They already are. So that's just my opinion. That's what I see. But
now, and I'm right with you. I had, and I should mention, our guest and who we're talking to today is Steve Dawson, and he's the president and founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. He's written a book called Catholic Evangelization, which is a series of stories of not only his own reversion back to the faith and the work that he's done, but other people that have been evangelized through his organization and have gone on, I think most of them, if not all of them, to be street evangelists as well. But I think you're absolutely right. And I had another fellow on the radio a few months ago, Jason Jones, and he wrote a book called The Great Campaign to the Against the Great Reset. And when I got an advanced copy of the book, I'm thinking, oh, there's got to be a political or an economic, you know, something in here that's going to be it. And I was way off. It was love, like you said, and that's who, you know, God is love. And just by loving whoever it is that you're next to, whether it's your spouse or a complete stranger or a friend, and it, you know, we convert the world, you know, one person at a time. And like you said, it's not going to be any great politician or economist that's going to, you know, get us out of where we are today. It is only Jesus Christ. And I know a whole slew of people that are praying for him to come sooner rather than later. But one, you know, a couple of things that you said triggered some thoughts in me, because I've had, you know, people come back when I'm trying to talk to people about the faith, and or I'm talking to other people about talking to people, and they're like, "Oh, we got to leave them alone, ecumenism. You know, as long as they're Christian, they're on the path, and this and that." And I always tell them, everybody's Catholic, just a lot of people don't know it yet, and I think that that's where we're all headed. Sooner or later, you know, everybody comes back to the Catholic Church. But the other thing that you mentioned, and it haunts me to this day. I have a good friend, Father McKay, who was on the show with me prior to this one. He's on every Wednesday talking about the saints, and today we spent the hour talking about St. Maximilian Kolbe. But he said something to me probably 10 years ago that his biggest nightmare, the thing he fears the most, is when he's in heaven and somebody comes up to him and says, "You know, Father, you knew the truth and you didn't tell me." And that haunts me now, because, you know, you and I and a lot of folks that we know, you know, we know the truth. And, you know, I think we're doing people a disservice when we don't share it with them. And when you look at it from that perspective, it almost forces you in some ways to evangelize. And God's going to put the people that need it right in front of you. And like Jesus tells the disciples, you know, don't prepare your words. I'll give them to you when you need them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a question I'd ask a person, that, you know, who says, "Well, we don't need to evangelize the Christians, you know, or not get the Christians." I say, "Do you think God wants, you know, non-Catholic Christians to have the Eucharist, the sacrament of confession, the fullness of truth? Do we really believe that we have more, you know, that we have a fullness that is lacking in many, well, in the especially in the Protestant, but other churches, you know?" And the answer is obviously, yeah, God wants it, you know. And so, you know, if we have the treasure, you know, we have to share it, you know. But yeah, so absolutely. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1816 says, "For the disciple of Christ, service of and witness to the faith is necessary for salvation." Witness to the faith. Evangelization is necessary for salvation for the for the disciple. And why? Because if we really do have the gift of eternal life, that is a gift greater than the cure for cancer. Like, if I was a scientist and I didn't share the cure for cancer with the little children and all the people who needed the cure for cancer and just allowed them to die, you know, I would be a bad man. It would be serious omission on my part. Well, we have something much greater, much infinitely greater than the cure to cancer. We have the cure to eternal death, the gift of eternal life. And so that is why, you know, the church teaches throughout the ages that we must evangelize. We must evangelize. So, yeah, it's a great
awesome
calling, a great duty.
Yeah. Listen, we've reached the bottom of the hour already, Steve, and we're going to take a short break. Are you up for coming back after the break?
Sure.
Okay. Again, our guest today is Steve Dawson. And the book that he's written that we've talked a little bit about is Catholic Evangelization. He's the president and founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. We're going to take a short break and continue the conversation when we come back. Don't go away. We will be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Just a reminder about that golf outing coming up on October the 14th. You can get all the information on our website at inhissign.com. There's a link there to download a brochure that's got all the information about playing golf, joining us for dinner, and sponsorship opportunities. So, again, thank you. Because of what you do, I'm able to be here on Wednesdays and hopefully bring you good shows like today's. Our guest today is Steve Dawson, the president and founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. And he's written a great book called Catholic Evangelization that tells the story of his own conversion and then that of others who he was able to influence through the street evangelization. And two things I want to get to. The first is I'm a guy that ended up in a 12-step program to overcome or to actually cope with my addictions. And in your story, I believe you didn't quite need that, and it all happened just through the sacrament of confession, if I'm not mistaken. And I want to bring that up only because, you know, sometimes myself included, we think that there's only one solution to problems, but I think especially in the case of addiction, there are other ways for people to overcome them or cope with them, and you found that solution by going to confession, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, and more than that, I mean, I did go to 12 steps. I was court ordered. I'd gotten a drunk driving, and I went, and I went for, you know, on and off for a couple of years. But once, I mean, this is like even before my conversion,
right?
And a little bit after, so I knew the big book, and you know, in it, I think Bill Wilson, he says, you know, if there are other ways, you know, this is just one, you know. But, you know, what I realized, you know, what worked for me, like the 12 steps are I call it like Christianity in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are really living the Catholic faith, you are doing all 12 steps.
Right.
You know, you're admitting you're powerless over what we all have addictions. You know, maybe it's alcohol, but maybe it's, you know, looking at your phone too much, or just powerless over sin in our life. You know, we can't give up that venial sin. That God is the answer. You know, higher power. We have an inventory examination of conscience. We have confession. You have prayer and service. You know, it's sponsorship, it's evangelization, right, and discipleship. I mean, it's all there. And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that a Catholic nun helped them put together the 12 steps. So
yep.
That's what I had heard.
Sister Ignatia. And, there was a great Catholic influence on the 12-step program, whether it was Sister Ignatia, who worked with Dr. Bob at Towns Hospital, or Father Ed Dowling, the Jesuit priest who would become Bill Wilson's spiritual director, that helped him edit what we call the 12 and 12, the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions book. And if you look closely, you go back through it with Catholic eyes, you can definitely see the Catholic influence in a lot of what went on. And it was Sister Ignatia, right, that started the chip system. She would give you the Sacred Heart badge when you left the hospital. And so people were collecting Sacred Heart badges before they were getting their 24-hour chip or their 30-day chip, like we do today.
Yeah, and as you know, I mean, there's a lot of, at some of the 12-step meetings, it can be a little, I don't know, it's just, but see, here's the thing: in order for you to get the benefits that you get with the 12 steps from Catholicism, you really have to practice it. One of the good things about the 12 steps and, AA is that there are people holding you accountable. You're really working at them if you're really trying, et cetera. So, but it's so easy for just a general Catholic, I go to Mass, I go to confession once in a while, every month or whatever. No, you have to. In order for you to get the same benefit, I believe, of doing a serious 12-step program out of Catholicism, is you have to do...
Yep, did I lose you, Steve? Hey, Steve? You're going in and out on me, pal. So, hey, Steve. Our guest today is Steve Dawson. It sounds like we might be having a little bit of technical trouble. And
I'm sorry.
There you are.
I think what happened is my wife drove into the driveway and it switched to Bluetooth.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
So I realized that. So I don't know. What was the last thing you heard me say? And did you hear my kids in the car?
No.
Okay.
No. And that wouldn't be a problem either. But it's all God. But no, I think we're talking about putting as much effort into Catholicism as we might into the 12-step program or vice versa. But I get it. But I think where I was trying to go with it was more that, that sacramental confession that you made and the impact that it had, it could have been the same as somebody that's in a program for 3 years, or at least when I've read it and I've heard you talk about it before, that was the kind of impact that had. And all of a sudden, not that you had the bright white light and sudden conversion, but it really happened more sudden for you than I think it does for most people.
Yeah, I mean, I just got, for me, I came to believe that the Catholic faith was the true faith before I was willing to give up all my bad habits,
Yeah.
So kind of like St. Augustine, where he says, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of me, give me holiness, but not yet. So I'd be like watching Mother Angelica on EWTN while drinking vodka or something like that. And I'd be like, yes, she's right. But one day God convicted me and I just realized, what would happen to me if I died today?
Mm.
And so I called my mom and I said, "Mom, I got to go to confession tonight." And she said, "Well, it's like 7 o'clock in the evening." And I said, "Well, I got to go." She's like, "Well, let me talk." She said, "You can go tomorrow." And I said, "What would happen to me if I died tonight?" She said, "Well, let me call somebody." And so she called the priest. I got him on the phone, and he said, "I'll see you tomorrow." I said, "Father, what would happen to me if I died tonight?" And he said, "Well, I'll see you in 15 minutes." You know? So, that confession, it took an hour and a half, and my penance was 30 rosaries, and I got off easy, because if I was in the early church, I'd have sackcloth and ashes and bread and water for the rest of my life. Yeah. But yes, it was a transformative experience, for sure.
Right. And then, you know, we jump ahead. We've already talked about, starting the street evangelization and talking with other people. Maybe just kind of overview, and I know we've only got about 15 minutes, but, you know, the steps that the people that you've trained, and you have a whole program now, right, of how to learn to do this street evangelization, or, you know, whether it's in your own family or with friends, or if you really want to take it to the street, they can learn more about it from your organization.
Yeah, and you know, that's why our book is named Catholic Evangelization, not Catholic Street Evangelization. Catholic Evangelization, Stories of Conversion and Witness. Because what we're doing, well, first of all, it's a book of conversions and stories. It has street evangelization stories in it, but it just has regular evangelization tips that are applicable to anybody who wants to evangelize. But, you know, everything that you need to know, I do street evangelization out on the street. I mean, they're the same tools, just a little bit modified, that we need to use to evangelize, you know, our family members and our coworkers and just people in our daily lives. So that is why we, you know, from the very beginning, we set up basic evangelization training courses. We do them all over the country. We train seminarians because, believe it or not, seminarians don't really learn how to do evangelization in the seminary in most places. I mean, it's philosophy and theology and sacraments, but not how to evangelize. So we fill that gap. And some seminaries, we're training deacons, we're training parishes and dioceses, and in addition to our team leaders. So we have online courses. We have an entire school of evangelization, which is online, that is geared to basic evangelization training for anybody, any Catholic who wants to learn how to evangelize. And so these are the simple things. And then, you know, the add-on to that is, if you feel called to do more and to do public evangelization, which not everybody is, although I think more people are than who think they are, you know, there's add-on sections and segments in the school. So yeah, absolutely. We're training all over the country. It's someone somewhere every weekend, basically. It's a great resource for sure.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, the initial website is streetevangelization.com.
Streetevangelization.com, exactly. Yep. And you can click on school on there. We also have an evangelization store. When I first started giving out miraculous medals, I had to, you know, go to the Catholic bookstore, which Catholic bookstores are great, but they're not great for purchasing 1,000 miraculous medals, or even 100. You know, they could cost $1 each. So when we were equipping our evangelists throughout the country, you know, we wholesaled them. We got in touch with manufacturers, and now I believe we're the biggest distributor of religious medals, especially the miraculous medal, in the country. We're doing about close to 2 million a year.
Wow.
So, you know, I know when I got my first 1,000 miraculous medals, I was like, wow, what am I going to do with all these things? And now we got pallets of them coming in every month, you know. and then they're going out throughout the world. So, you know, if you feel called to evangelize, get 50 or 100 pack of Miraculous Metals. It's all discounted, cheap. You can't find them. Their quality. Get some chains and some holy cards that explain the Miraculous Metals. Some ball chains. You know, it'll cost you like, for a whole little kit, you know, maybe 50 cents each or something. And carry a couple around with you and just give them to random people. Yeah. And God is going to show up. And that is a great way that you can evangelize. Yeah.
Yeah. So just a quick story. So my friend Father McKay distributes Miraculous Metals all over the place. And I always keep a few in my car. And I have a... kind of a little evangelization thing I do on the exit ramp of one of the expressways here in Philadelphia, where there tends to be a panhandler just about every day. I see them enough that I know their names. And the first time I encountered a woman named Kelly, she was there, and I was prompted to give her a Miraculous Medal. And when I gave it to her, she started to cry. And I was like, what's the matter? She said, I have one of these when I was a little girl. I haven't seen one in years. And, you know, we really don't know what's going to happen when we do these, you know, make these little efforts of, you know, giving somebody a Miraculous Medal or just saying good morning or taking the time to have a conversation with somebody. And when we do, and God's in control, you know, it can lead anywhere. And I think sometimes we can even surprise ourselves or allow God to surprise us at the good that can come from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say like 5% of the time I give somebody a Miraculous Medal, they start crying. What I mean? Yeah. Something, they get emotional.
Right.
Especially when it's in random circumstances, like, you know, in the grocery store, a little bit less when you're, you know, you have a table and you're doing street evangelization. But just, you know, the last time, it's maybe a month ago, I gave one to the cashier at the Home Depot, and she started crying. Yeah, right there. And, you know, and yeah, just these little signs. And the other thing is, even if they don't respond, God can do something. There was a... one of our teams had a booth, and they were giving out rosaries in Arizona. And a little boy who was adopted, he picked up one of these rosaries, and his Protestant parents let him have it. And they noticed he was very young. They noticed he was, like, kind of praying it almost. He wasn't saying words, but he was going through it. And they thought to themselves, well, maybe he's Catholic. And so they investigated that and found out that his parents were Catholic, but he had never gotten baptized. So they got him baptized. And when it came time to put him in, they were going to put him in a private school. They thought, maybe we should put him in a Catholic school. So they went to the Catholic school and they met with the principal, who was a nun. And there was a poster on the wall. And it said, the wife said, what does that poster mean? She said, oh, that's RCIA, you know. That's for people who want to take classes, who want to become Catholic. And the wife turned to her husband and she said, you mean you can become Catholic? The whole family became Catholic. And you know what? 7 years ago, a team was just out there. They handed a little boy a rosary. And that started something. And we would have never known about that unless... Yeah. There was an article written about it, and we were mentioned in it. But God gives us those examples. So, yeah, I mean, we are making a difference. Just giving someone a Miraculous Medal, a rosary, yeah. You never know what God's going to do.
No, absolutely. I wasn't a part of this, but a young lady that I've gotten to know who was an evangelical, and somebody, she tells her story, and somebody gave her a rosary. And she said, like a good evangelical, I immediately put it, you know, threw it on the sidewalk and stomped on it and crushed it. And she said, from that moment on, the Blessed Mother would not leave me alone. And 18 months later, she came into the Catholic Church, and she's a beautiful artist. And a lot of her work up until then was secular. And now almost everything she does is Catholic in nature. So we really don't know. We just have to, you know, have the courage to make these small efforts. And then in the end, God's in control anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think the other thing that scares people from doing like a more public or, type of evangelization, like we consider street evangelization any type of evangelization where you're evangelizing someone intentionally that you've never met before, whether it be, you know, in a grocery store, the cashier, a waitress, or, you know, the person who's panhandling or whatever. Where was I going with this story? I don't know. How did I? What did you just say?
I was talking about the girl that stomped on the rosary, and how we don't know. We make the small effort, and we don't know what God's going to do with it.
Yeah, I know where I was going. I think the thing that scares us from doing more public or direct evangelization with people we don't know is like our experiences with our family members.
Right.
You know, because I'll tell you, it is impossible to evangelize. Like, a prophet is not welcome in his own hometown.
Exactly.
You know, and you just think that when you try to evangelize your fallen away children or whatever, you know, they have this violent reaction. Evangelizing is going to be scary. But the truth of the matter is, evangelizing people you've never met before is the simplest form of evangelization. It's so easy. You know, because if people don't want to talk to you, they keep walking.
Yep.
And but people will. They'll stop, and they open up to you because they've never met you. You know, you're probably never going to see them again. And they, you know, it's not like you're their parent. They got something to prove. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. We've got just a couple of minutes left. Our guest today has been Steve Dawson. He's the president and founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. You can learn more about the organization at streetevangelization.com. He's written a wonderful book called Catholic Evangelization, which is the story, the conversion stories of not only himself, but others that he has come to know over the years. You can pick up the book at ignatius.com. We're locally here in the Philadelphia market. I encourage you to give our friends over at the St. Jude Shop a call and pick it up there before you go to some of the other online outlets. Final word, Steve, before we have to let you go. And listen, I do have to say, I had the prayer warriors praying for you. I know that you're not feeling 100%, and it's just been a real pleasure to have you, especially for the whole hour. So hopefully you're no worse for wear after being with us for this time.
Oh, no, it was good. I did... Hopefully I did okay.
Nah, you're fine, pal. Nah, it was great. I appreciate it. But anything you want to leave with our listeners before we let you go?
Yeah, just remember, you know, we're all called to evangelize. You know, we need to be intentional. The Catechism says, always be on the lookout for opportunities to evangelize. So we have to have an attitude of evangelization. So be praying for the graces, and kind of do something. Pick up some little apostle, pass out miraculous medals, pass out holy cards or rosaries or divine mercy cards, or do something to get you started. And God will do amazing things. But be intentional about it.
Amen. Again, the reason that I really I thought it was great that God put us together today was because it is the feast of Maximilian Kolbe. And you shared earlier that your firstborn son is Maximilian.
Mm-hmm.
When my third child, second son, was born, I had become a Knight of the Immaculata, and my first two kids were Megan and Matthew. And they did when they learned that my wife and I were going to have another child, Megan and Matthew got together and said, "Well, his name has to start with an M, because we're the M&M kids." And so I immediately said to my wife, "Maximilian, there you go." And she, "I am not naming my son Maximilian. So he's Michael Kolbe." I got Kolbe as the middle name, but, I think that God put us together intentionally today. Hopefully we've encouraged a few people to not be so bashful about their Catholicism and try to share it with a stranger. So, again, thanks for being able to spend the whole hour with us. I think it was great, and I look forward to reading some more of the stories in the book.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and God bless you and your audience.
Thanks so much, Steve. Take care, and God bless.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye now. Steve may or may not listen to the show, but on Thursdays, again, if you miss either of the shows or you want to re-listen, urge you to subscribe to my Substack account, Not Saints Yet, at substack.com. I sent out an email with the highlights and links to the recordings. And I'd actually gotten an email about 15 minutes before I went on with Father McKay. And Steve let me know that he was under the weather and did I want to reschedule because he didn't think he'd come across that clear. And I think he was great, and the work that he's doing. And again, it just shows that no matter where we come from, that God's got a role for us to play. And until we take the time to discern what that role is and then ask God to help us in it and then start working in that role, I don't think we're going to find our true happiness and our true joy. It's kind of where we went with Father Spitzer last week with the four levels of happiness and the book that he wrote. Until we figure out what it is that God needs us to do and then actually do it, we're not going to experience the true joy, the true happiness that God intends for each and every one of us. And although it may not have come across in Steve's voice today because he's a little bit under the weather, but I've seen some other work that he's done and the joy that he gets from spreading his faith is just incredible. And, you know, it may not be something that you are particularly called for, but I think each and every one of us has the ability to at least share our story. And don't worry about the outcome. You know, I think when we meet God face to face, he's not going to sit there with a scorecard and say, well, you talked to 8 and you only got 1, or you talked to 100 and you got 2, because we may not know what the outcome is. So many times, especially in the 12-step arena where, you know, talk to somebody and they come back years later and remind you of something that you said to them and you have no recollection. But the bottom line is to just do it. We're up against the clock once again on this Wednesday afternoon, and just a pleasure to be here for these 2 hours, and hopefully it was pleasurable for you. And, you know, God willing, God's going to have us back here again next Wednesday. With another great guest. And until then, I will pray for you. I hope you will pray for me, and especially pray that God will keep you in the palm of his hand. Take care. And God bless.